Now, I know it's not fair. We have to face reality. It's almost time to pack away the sun cream and the flip-flops, and we've got to embrace the autumn and accept it for what it is. I really don't like it, but we have to. The time for back-to-school signs and ads that really send shivers down the spine. And they all, like Christmas, they start way too early, the ads. They started weeks and months ago. But we don't need to tell you how expensive a time of year it can be for parents, putting many families under enormous financial pressure. But we have a little bit of help and advice to keep the cost down. Financial consultant Dave Kavanagh joins me in studio with a few tips for families facing back into the classroom in the next couple of weeks. Dave, you're very welcome.
Thanks, Sarah. How are you?
So, brilliant, top form, flying form, having a great all week. But the recent Bernardo study, Dave, of 2,000 families indicates the following average costs for back to school essentials, which is kind of surprising. When I heard this a couple of weeks ago, I thought it was shocking. And then when you think about it, these costs are adding up. So for a senior infant, up to €345, for a fourth class student, €380, and for a first year student, it's €735. So just tell us a bit about that first, Dave.
Yeah, one of the largest studies that Bernardo's have done, over 2,000 families. Now, these costs, incidentally, don't even include some of the extras, such as runners, sports equipment, school bags, those kind of things, extracurricular activity equipment. And obviously, they will differ from place to place, depending on the school demands and things, but not an inconsequential amount of someone's annual income to go at this time of year, particularly with those with quite a few children.
And it is that thing, because I have a little boy starting school. It's a big school. Try not to make a big deal of it. Apparently, this is the advice. But I've been getting ready for it over the last couple of months, and I'm spotting, if there have been deals on, whether it was Aldi, Little, they had school bags, looking out for the magazine for that coming up, and then looking in Tesco for something else, getting socks somewhere else. So I've been building up for it over the last few months, and they have had the ads everywhere. To be honest, the parents know this stuff is out there. I think it's awful for the kids when they finish in June that the ads are up for back to school. But on a practical level, for us, for the mums and dads, it is good to be putting that stuff away. But if you add it all up in one go, it's a big chunk. But so what tips do you have, Dave, for people to keep the cost down? What help is available?
Okay, well firstly, in terms of the help available, there's a couple of things. There's the back to school clothing and footwear allowance. This is from the Department of Social Protection. Now, there's eligibility criteria here, and the parent or guardian must be receiving certain social welfare payments or payments or training employment schemes. The details of whether or not you qualify, you can look at on welfare.ie. A lot of them is automatic. The scheme runs from the start of June to the end of September. But people that automatically qualify would normally have received a letter by about the middle of June. So if somebody hasn't, it's worth inquiring to qualify.
And do they get the money as well at the beginning of June or middle of June?
I think it's made prior to going back to school, but I don't think it's immediately. But some of the payments, it may be rolled out, and it may be from the middle of June, from the time the letter goes out, tells them how they can then get the payment, depending on the type of payment method they get for the other services.
Because you do need the time, to plan.
Of course, yeah. And as you mentioned already, some of the preparation needs to happen rather than someone using 5-10% of their annual income the week before September. So, yeah, a bit of planning is important. The payments themselves, they've actually come down in the last couple of years. For students aged 4 to 11 on or before 30th of September this year, it's €100. Now, that was €200 in 2011, so that's been halved. For students aged 12 to 22 by the same date, it's €200. Again, that was €305. Just to confirm that the age to 22 can sound a bit misleading, it does not include third level students, it's only secondary students.
That's very confusing.
I know it's a little unusual. There's going to be a very small minority beyond 19 that are going to be at second level, but they've allowed for that. The other thing is, even if somebody automatically qualified last year or the year before, once they pass 18, they still need to apply. So they need to verify that they are still in secondary school.
I think that's the same with the child benefit, I think, isn't it?
Similar. Once you go beyond 16 with child benefit, you need to confirm if you're still in full-time education. And otherwise, if you don't, the onus is on the person to do it. If not, that will pass. The next thing is the school books grant scheme. This is funded from the Department of Education and Science. That's mainly aimed at low-income families or families who may be going through financial hardship at this period in time. The difference with this one is it's administered by the school principals. And the principal has absolute discretion in who qualifies, who is in most in need as such, based on the information given. So any inquiries or applications for this one to the school principal on that.
Dave, what do you think of that? Just you, maybe your own personal opinion.
I suppose on one side, rather than a centralized department making decisions for somebody that, that all they have is a small spreadsheet of information, no details, it can be quite impersonal. At least the principal will have an idea, will maybe have seen some of these children go through and have an idea of the reality or the personal side of the story. And again, there's an awful lot of people not going to qualify for these things who will be still struggling. I mean, I was invited to talk to a group of parents recently in the Black Bull Inn in Drogheda, discussing some of these topics like the school rental schemes and that. And some with two students going to secondary and a primary student as well, suddenly there's a couple of thousand euro gone. So it's not insignificant at all this time of year, not to be sniffed at. And funny enough, those rental schemes, they're very, very helpful, people were saying, in reducing the costs because of the cost of books, particularly in secondary. And yet, going back to the Bernardo survey, apparently for primary school, for those that responded, 68% had access to rental schemes, whereas in secondary school, where it's probably more urgent, only 20% did have.
Listen, every single year you go back in with your big pile of books that have been finished with for the year, and you go into a good bookshop, there's a lot of them around, who will take secondhand books, and only maybe 10% of the books that you've spent 200 quid on will be taken in. The rest are for the bin. It wrecks my head. Yeah. Who does that better? There has to be a better way to do that with the books.
There is, and with the rental scheme, what we found is if there isn't one in someone's school, it's something for the parents to get together. Most of the good schemes have been initiated by parents getting together, approaching the school board, ideally find somewhere where there is a scheme, find how they did it, how they got it set up, how they got the funding, how it works, what kind of costs are involved, how is it administered. These are the kind of things a few parents coming together in numbers can make a big difference, but they have definitely been laid out as something that's very, very helpful.
But you know what, Dave? I think that's great, okay? But even as a working mum, it's really hard to get the time to do that kind of thing. I'm writing it down thinking it's a great idea, but realistically, how are we going to do that? Why can't the Department of Education bring it in that there's a rental scheme for all secondary schools and for all primary schools? Has that ever been anything that's come up before?
I don't know. It's certainly been asked a lot of the times, and there's been a lot of anecdotal evidence that it's just not down the priority list, or maybe it's a funding issue, or maybe that they're afraid if they're making the decisions, funding is going to need to come. And we all know what happens when funding is required. People just want to push it elsewhere. But just there was a lot mentioned of success of when parents get together. Obviously, there will be not all parents will be able, but if a few can get together, they can get a bit of support. They can approach the school board. It's something that apparently people are finding invaluable.
It's something, though, that they should look at when they're looking at childcare in the next budget. It's something they should look at. I mean,
definitely,
you know, it's something that maybe that's the kind of thing that parents could push their energy that way instead of trying to do it all on our own, because there's enough going on. But yeah, but sorry, back to the rental schemes.
Yeah, well that's really it on the rental schemes, that they provide a service where instead of somebody forking out, I mean, if someone's got two secondary school students, you're talking a 1,400-1,500 bill with the other things I mentioned as well, the extracurricular, a couple of thousand euro. If someone can take a few hundred off that by the rental schemes, using the rental schemes, it makes a vast difference. And people were citing that as one of the most helpful things.
Yeah, we'll stay away from the private schools at the moment, because yeah, I suppose if people are paying those fees, they're expecting that the book costs are going to be covered, and they're going to have to cover those in there. Okay, but with voluntary contribution, and there's some brilliant schools out there, and God knows they need the extra funding if they're public schools. The voluntary contribution isn't really voluntary.
No, it's the name itself is has a bit of a stigma to it. But and there's been some horror stories really of people feeling under so much pressure. I've heard of one school where when returning and when enrolling and paying various fees, those paying the voluntary contribution were ushered along. Those that didn't were put into a separate line. The stigma attached to that is unbelievable. There's also been pressure put on parents, where letters written to parents demanding, letters giving to the children to bring home to the parents. So some of those things. Voluntary contribution, yes, the school needs the funding, and is it a point of least resistance if they cannot get the funding from the Department of Education? Where do they go back to? They go back to the parents.
And if people are struggling there and they're on the book scheme, which they've been allocated by the principal of that school, or they get automatically the back to school clothing and footwear allowance, there's no way they're going to be able to get the funds together for the voluntary contribution.
No, it can be difficult. And some people out of embarrassment are letting other things go to make sure they pay it. And we're talking quite extreme circumstances. I remember a year ago, Ryan making reference at surprise of somebody watering down milk. There's far worse than that goes on. But in terms of, rather than the stigma of I didn't pay it, some people are finding other ways and cutting back on other essentials.
I remember that piece on the show. It was very, very strong. And you're right. And that's still going on. Now, moving on. So you're the uniform.
Yeah. Uniforms, again, this came up, I think, in response to the Bernardo studies as one of the things that the most help could be done. And it's shopping around for generic items of uniform. Heard from some of the parents recently that some schools in Meath insisted on one shop for the uniform where they get the crest and were sending the people up to Dublin to get it. So one of the mothers, after doing this for a couple of years, finding it very tough with four children, three of them school going, did a bit of research and realised that locally in her own store, without having to drive to Dublin and the cost of parking, bringing the children, etc., got the item for half the price. And the same shop happily embroidered the school emblem on for €3. So
she sewed it on herself.
No, the shop provided that service as well. The shop that did the generic uniform.
Because I've done that and taken the crest and put them on, but sure, it looks a bit, you can see it and it looks a bit dodgy. So, and what, you know, that's the same. What about labelled uniforms? I mean, that kind of ties into that, doesn't it?
Labelling uniforms, when it comes onto the tips of helpful recommendations that were people given that was trying to collate, it was labelling them. It might sound like stating the obvious, but we know there's going to be thousands of children a few weeks into term and they've mislaid a jumper, a jacket, something. At least you've some chance of it being returned if the contact details, preferably the parents' contact details, so that the child's mobile number doesn't get into the wrong hands for the wrong reasons. But yet, labelling, one of the many tips that were mentioned in terms of uniforms, we've mentioned the generic, looking for the generic options. Same with footwear as well. Allowing a bit of grow room, the old Irish mammy, get it a size bigger. We've all seen halfway through a term, someone's just taken a growth spurt and they're a few inches taller.
Absolutely.
New uniform. Perfectly good uniform is now being left.
That's it. And Dave, we had an email in there. We're very lucky in our primary school. Our books cost €35 for every child. The parents group fundraise it, as you were saying, throughout the year to make it affordable for us parents. I bought my son's shirts, polo shirts and jumpers in Dunn's sale in January at less than half price. See, that's clever. Back in the January. I do need to get them new footwear, as we all do. School bag, trousers and PE jumper. Our school does have a crest that can be sewed onto the jumper and it's brilliant. That's very good and I love when they do that. They really consider all different households' budgets. That's from Laura. Laura, thanks a million for that and I wish more schools were doing that. What about the stationery in bulk and the secondhand books?
Yeah, secondhand books, a huge cost and books are a huge cost. If secondhand can be got, that's excellent. Shop around. Look in the shops. Ask if they've got secondhand options. Check your local buy and sell Facebook pages. Anyone that's just finished school, the books are sitting there. They'll either give them away or sell them. So certainly something to keep an eye on.
And anybody who's budgeting knows as well with lunches at this stage, same with every meal. We know how to do that. That part is not as scary. We're budgeting on that front already. It's just trying to get the healthy bits and pieces in there. But Dave, where can people get in touch with you to find out and get your advice and tips?
Well, I mean, obviously our website, www.financialcompanion.ie. The Financial Companion Facebook page often has money-saving tips, consumer advice, and even the odd scam warning. There's a budget spreadsheet that people are finding very, very helpful. If anyone wants one, it calculates as people input their spending and people have reported back great savings. And if they want to email info@financialcompanion.ie, just put budget in the title and we'll email them back a free budget spreadsheet.
Dave, I'm going to be your first person doing this. Right, I'm writing it down. That's my job after the show. Thank you so much, Dave Kavanagh, financial consultant, for talking to us about back to school. We'll be back after this.